Welcome back. Episode 21, The Love Boat Project. With me, my co-host, Mike Robertson. Ahoy, Mike.
I'm back like Leslie Nielsen for another episode. Kind of the same.
Another. There's even more of that going on some of the people that didn't even make the quote-unquote portholes this episode. There's a lot to discuss.
Yeah. I will say, because we're obviously getting close to the end of the season, which means we're getting close to the beginning of the portals.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, man, really want to see the portals for the reasons we've talked about, right? Like a person you know by face, but not by name, or you want to see how they do it in terms of character or stuff like that. Yeah. But then there's episodes like this where they wouldn't have helped at all.
No.
I watched this thing twice difference. And I still don't know who half these people are. So
I watched it twice and I don't know if I have a third one in me. I just don't think I can do it.
This won't be on the best of.
No. Interestingly enough, so let's kick off. We're here to talk about episode 21 from season 1 of The Love Boat. Episode titled Parents Know Best, A Selfless Love and the Nubile Nurse.
Did you
Yeah.
So the other two were so obvious that I knew what selfless love was.
Oh, sure.
That's a terrible title, right? Like that title made no sense.
That doesn't make any sense for the old, young, old thing.
Right. Like you could have done a million things and a selfless love.
You couldn't do like a time pun.
Right.
Like
The old man and the girl. Well, they did that with the orphans. But anyway, point is.
Time's up. Spell it like a spice, like make it interesting.
That whole thing thought it was way more poignant than it actually was. They kept hoping to have the trappings of poignancy and it was not there. So,
you know, we always say that out of the three storylines, our hope is that two of them.
A good episode would have two.
Would have two.
A great episode would have three. Mediocre episode would have one.
What? This?
Then there's this episode. This. Yeah.
This has got nothing going for it. Yeah. Nothing.
No.
It's amazingly bad. And not bad like weird bad. You had Stubing and a mustache. All of a sudden there's a masquerade. So you're telling me at a fiesta party, you put on a fake mustache and you dress like almost like a pirate? What is going on? He's dressed up.
Stubing is getting nailed by you. You have it out for Stubing.
Well, it's Stubing does something this, every episode, but it's just
of all the men on this boat this week, Stubing held in pretty well.
Yeah, it was interesting. Well, like so, let's get original air date February 25th, 1978. Let's talk about what's on. So what was on TV?
What we should have watched.
What we should have watched. Exactly. And here's where things get interesting. So CBS, we've broke the mold is broken now. So other networks are throwing haymakers because the Love Boat is starting to
Kojak this week?
No. CBS, this is a weird thing. They have a 90-minute episode of The Jeffersons from 8 to 9:30, cutting a half an hour into The Love Boat. You want to hear about the episode?
Is it one episode or is
one
it like
episode,
three?
One episode.
Gotta and be it's a like, clip show, right?
Yep. George and Louise are tied up by a burglar. They reminisce about the days they live next door to the bunkers and other unforgettable experiences. Yeah, I remember because they were tied up in his dry cleaner.
I think that eventually became part of the credits. You know how the old credits would have like clips from previous shows?
Yeah, because weren't they in a chair and they're hopping?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah.
It's like the only thing I remember about Alice is that there's a scene where Vic Tabak is stuck in the top of a car. He's trying to get out of a car. And that's because it's in the credits. And then what's her name? Throwing the straw. So it's like, bring back those kinds of credits, people.
I just remember like the, Alice's son was just freakishly tall, and he looked like that character from Children of the Corn. You know, he had that big sickle, but he was a giant redheaded kid. Scary.
I think he's Nancy McKeon's brother. Joe from Faxalot.
Joe. Okay, I thought you meant Nancy's brother, Joe. Yeah, I know you're talking. She was big on the Lifetime Network, Nancy McKeon. A lot of like detective.
I'm gonna make a prediction right now. Mm. I feel like both McKeon siblings will be on this boat at some point. That's the right time frame, right?
I could see that. Well, yeah. If we're going there, what about anyone from Alice? Anyone else? Vic?
I think the only person who definitely, well, no. Because I was gonna say, like, Flo might be too big, but then she fell, right? So she probably would be on the back end.
Who is the blonde? The southern.
Oh, they'll all be on. All those replacement Flos will be on.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
They should have a vote of all the replacements. Second Darren.
Terry.
Second Chrissy. Terry. Yeah. Replacement Flo.
Fresh Prince's second mom.
Right. Yeah.
Or no. Phil's second wife.
Whoever replaced that one detective on Barney Miller. Like all that. Like just.
I would love it. Rick Schroeder from NYPD.
Once a little later in the game, but yeah.
Hey, Sipowitz, I'm your new partner, Ricky Schroeder. Like, what?
Is Silver Spoons on yet? Probably not, right?
No, not yet.
Yeah, we'll be getting all those guys.
I was a big fan.
Alfonso Rivera is showing up in like 1984.
Or what's her name? She was on Buck Rogers. Aaron.
She'll probably be first.
I bet you
she's first. Yeah, Aaron Gray. Because you're right, Buck Rogers, yeah.
And Philip Houseman.
We're all over the place.
We're ready to talk about any show other than this episode right here. Hey, why don't you guys do a project about a TV show? Oh, I don't know. No. We never talk about TV.
Yeah.
So it's going to take you 8 to 9:30. 9:30 to 10, an episode of Maud. Haymakers.
I can't believe that clip show would be 90 minutes. That's crazy.
And there's only three networks.
Also, I can't believe that they would have you tied up by a burglar to get you there. Just get stuck in an elevator. You don't need to be tied up.
And just show clips. You don't even need like some.
Oh, no. You always needed the conceit. There was always a conceit. Like,
remember that one time when we should do a clip show? That would be great.
Yeah, you say that, but I'm the one who would have to edit the clip show.
Amazing. I'm just saying we could do it at the Sphere, you know?
Yeah.
No description for the Maud. It's a regular, you know, I'm not.
Then there's Maud. Yeah.
Right, then there's Maud. Okay. But on NBC, there was a 2-hour episode of a TV show, Columbo.
Oh.
Episode called Make Me a Perfect Murder. Haymakers, dude.
Yeah.
They didn't have to, 9 to 11. Like,
I'm disappointed, though. Happy for Columbo, but I'm disappointed because the NBC movie is one of my favorite bits of the whole thing.
They're making Columbo's a huge mistake. Just a
quality product.
Well, unless this is sort of just viewed as a quote unquote movie, because it takes up a 2-hour block of time.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not the same.
It's not really, and it was considered to be a 2-hour episode, which I like noted because I'm like, is that a movie? Is that a TV movie? So here's the interesting thing, just some background of where we are. So right now, Love Boat is averaging 21.9 million viewers per episode.
Wow.
Okay. It is between 1977 and 1978. It was number 14 as the top rated primetime television series. Thank you to people from Nielsen.
So what do we think? There's like 40 shows.
Well,
there's 3 hours a week, 3 hours a night, 7 nights a week, but those could be half hours or hours. So yeah,
I'd say number one was Laverne and Shirley. And what happened now is ABC is just kicking ass,
right?
Laverne and Shirley, all those sitcoms were hidden. This was hidden, so it's just interesting to see. I had no idea where we were.
Well, it's also interesting because we've had one Laverne and Shirley person all season, and it's on the same network. So,
yeah,
that's actually interesting. Like, so are they using it to prop up the shows that need it? or are they not even thinking about it like that?
Maybe we'll see it an uptick next season. I mean, that's the only thing I could think of. Because if you're trying to push a show, do you want your show to be pushed on some crappy show? Is this a fluke? Is it 14? Right. So it's they're dominating this time slot if they're number 14.
Yeah, but I mean, well, that's the funny part, because 21 million viewers today, you'd probably be the biggest show in the country.
I think Laverne and Shirley was like 32 point something.
I think the Super Bowl gets like 50 billion or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
It's just crazy numbers.
Oh, there's nothing else on. You have three channels.
There's nothing else on.
Right.
Right. IMDb rating. Any guesses on this one?
I kind of looked at just the rest of the season in general, and it's what I said before.
It's a bunch of nonsense.
They're just all about the same, which is funny because this was not nearly as good as last week or most of the ones we've seen, if not all of the ones we've seen.
I'm done with the IMDb rating.
Yeah.
Because it clearly means, look what I'm doing. Look.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Goodbye.
Wow.
All right. Never again. Bruce's parents, Harry and Phyllis, want him to date women on the cruise and not settle for his girl back home.
Okay. Don't even get me started on that.
That's the stupidest thing ever.
But new, accurate description.
Accurate?
Yeah.
New nurse Dawn frustrates Adam by rejecting him.
No, that's not right. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe unintentionally.
I mean,
it's still.
Yeah.
I guess you have to define reject.
She definitely should have rejected him a lot more than she did.
Yeah. Like, jeez. Dan has second thoughts about marrying young Laura. It was more than that, though. That's not wrong.
That is a thing that happened.
No, he wanted a nap.
Like a lot.
A lot of napping.
Like a lot, Dan. You're the same age as Dan in this.
Basically. Oh, yeah, it's noted. Like, it's ridiculous. So let's go through guest stars. There was one big name star that was not mentioned who we will get to, and he was my least favorite character on the show. Not a main person. In alphabetical order, we have Linda Day George, cast member on Mission Impossible. We will see her two more times on the Love Boat. 79 and 82.
Had you ever seen Mission Impossible?
Oh, yeah.
I realized I know Peter Graves. Like, I know the show, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I didn't know who she was. Mm-hmm. I looked it up, and I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, that's a big deal. But I still don't know who she is.
Like when I think of that show, she's not one of the things that I remember.
Yeah. It's nothing against her. Show didn't make it to reruns when I was a kid. to know it enough. So
I've seen a few episodes, but it wasn't, let's just say I've seen like three episodes and that's it. And really I'm good. Monty Hall. Hello.
That was weird.
Canada. Monty Hall is a Canadian, sir.
Really?
A proud Canadian. Mm-hmm. He's one of three game show hosts to be on both the Hollywood and Canada's Walk of Fame.
Where is Canada's Walk of Fame located? Is it just across the border?
It's North Pole. Yeah, it's right across. I don't know where. Does Canada have a Hollywood?
Vancouver, I think, is where a lot of their movies get made, but I don't know that it's...
Sorry.
Well, we have a lot of listeners in Canada now, so...
Oh.
Write in.
Yeah, write in. Send us an email.
All right. Help us out.
Help us out. Sorry. Let's Make a Deal, which was on NBC from 63 to 68, and then on ABC from 68 to 76. Interesting.
And then was that it? Or did it come back?
No, that was it. It came back without him, like, years later.
Wait a minute. Really?
Yeah.
Like, I know it came back without him eventually, but that,
a lot of those
were
repeats.
They were just showing reruns? That's crazy. I remember watching that as a kid.
So did I. And that was, And there were new iterations of the show, but it was never, that was it. I thought that was it. He had a couple other, like, you know, I'm trying to think of something. Let's Make a Meal. That one didn't go anywhere.
Through no fault of his own, but very weird to see Monty Hall acting and acting like a lech.
He took me right out of it because it's Monty. It's like if Bob Barker was there. The only person Bob Barker can play is Bob Barker.
Bob Barker, No, it was weird. It was It was weird casting. Very weird casting. And again, not that he was bad. He was just very Monty Hall.
He looked like Monty. He did nothing. He didn't even like
Monty Hall. He sounded like Monty Hall.
Talked like Monty Hall. He just So Elaine Joyce as Dawn Delaney. Delaney. Who is Delaney? Let me go. Oh, okay. That was the young girl.
The nurse. Married to, the nurse. Yeah.
She was married to playwright Neil Simon.
I saw from that.
1999 to 2018. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
We'll get to my next guest in a few minutes. Leslie Nielsen is Dan Michaels' second appearance this season. We will see him again. He'll be back in season two. In the same, and he's 50. There's no way. There's no
We'll get to it, but we've kind of marked the oddity that is having somebody come back twice in a season. But every episode has done a decent job of differentiating the characters, whether it's physically or the story arc. Or whatever. Even like Robert Urich, it was close, but like he was two completely different characters.
Because he's the master actor. That's why.
This is 90% the character he played in the last episode he was in.
They're not even trying. Leslie Nielsen is not. No. He's giving you nothing in this.
No.
He shouldn't have gotten
disappointing.
Paid.
Which is disappointing.
Yeah. Playing Monty Hall's wife, interesting, was Janice Page. Janice Page played Phyllis Morrison. She's alive and 101 years old.
Oh my God, we should have had her on.
Email.
You want to talk about the worst episode we've watched of The Love Boat?
Sorry, Janice Page. She is one of the last surviving stars from the, quote, golden age of Hollywood.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wait, so she's 101 now. She's in her mid-50s then? I tell you. We've talked about this with a few people. You go between 40 and 60.
There's no talent
in that era. No idea.
It's all the same.
It's the style or whatever, but it's just like no clue.
It's funny because what if it was flipped, right? I think part of it is because they're dressed like our parents, right? Yeah. So in that sense, it's like, well, that's always going to seem older.
Older, yeah.
But still. Even the most, I think it was just the style then. You know, my Mrs. Taylor is always saying, you know, people don't dress up anymore, especially in this world of working from home. Amen. But it is a thing. Like, even then, like, you know, look how Leslie Nielsen is dressed. Number one, his waist is up to his armpits. I'm not even going to talk about that. But it's a whole thing. And her. They just make, I don't get it. They make, they say the men are younger and then the women always play older.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. It can't, the only thing I can think about it being style is there was just that thing where it was like you become a certain age as a mom and that's it. And you check out from being fashionable and you just become an older.
Just functional, basically.
Yeah. Which is like, you know, that's definitely changed. And again, this is not an insult to the women. I think look just as young as anybody today, except that they just were framed in a different way. What was that episode a couple weeks ago where they made that one girl spinster?
Oh,
and she was a very attractive younger, and she was like 38 or something like that. It was like,
she's 38 playing like 54 or something.
Right.
It's just on that show.
Not the biggest problem with this episode, but just another
one.
Yeah.
Lori Prang as Diana Lane / Ginger. Ugh. Just tons of TV appearances. That's nothing. Bruce Morrison. Mark Shera as Bruce Morrison. We'll see him again in season two. Interesting thing here. He was on 93 episodes of Barnaby Jones and 37 episodes.
Was he like the nephew or the cousin or the, yeah.
You could tell he was something.
He wasn't. You know what
I mean? Just the.
He. That storyline is asinine. He was fine.
Dumbest shit ever.
He was fine. Like, he did a good job in the dumb storyline, but.
Well, it's not hard to win a gold medal in that event. I mean, everyone was awful.
No, I'm not throwing a lot of bouquets at anybody's acting this week. So.
And Monty Hall wouldn't, you know, well, let's not.
He really runs circles around Monty Hall.
Now let's talk about a character, Gary Foster, right? The ultimate just scumbag played by Butt. I mean, it's, well, there's plenty to, there's a lot of meat on that bone to discuss. He was played by Craig Littler. Interesting. Second appearance this season as well. He was on the John Ritter episode as Carl Daggett.
Oh my God. You know who that is?
I don't know who that is. I could not. Oh my God, reading.
I didn't realize it. So remember in that episode, because that's the Dennis Kingston episode. Remember that couple with the teeth that kind of gets Jacqueline Smith together?
Oh, yeah.
Is that him?
That's
if they had it. Him. It's got to be him.
Got to be him.
Oh, wow. Well, good for him then. They moved him up.
Let's see. I agree. Not listed. He's not listed. But
you know what? There will be a category on the Stubbies for best recurring person. And I'm telling you, he might get his way in there. He might get Craig a late nod. Good for you, Craig Littler. Apologies for not realizing it.
The only thing it would have been better if he would have played Carl again.
Yeah.
But I mean, let's not. No,
but the wife's not. Gone. The wife's
then the whole, that's right, with the whole, I remember now, that was terrible.
Yeah, they were in it a lot. They were like moving plot. Yeah.
We will see him again in season seven. Playing Carl Daggett. Craig Daggett or Carl Littler. All right. Anything before we hop on the boat? Because boy,
I thought you were going to. I thought your secret character was going to be Joe E. Ross.
Who's Joe E. Ross?
Joe E. Ross was the man who threw his back out in a comical fashion.
Oh, God. That's funny.
And he is. So this is a classic thing. Joe E. Ross, I knew the name. I had no idea where I knew it from.
Is he a comedian? It's got to be some bullshit name,
of course,
right?
Of course he was a comedian, because anybody who was on TV in the 50s was a comedian.
Oh, he had timing and all that,
He was opposite Fred Gwynn in Car 54, Where Are You? He was Officer Tootie or whatever.
That's facts of life, I think. Blair? Speaking of Nancy McKeon.
But, which it's funny, I never probably saw an episode of Car 54, Where Are You? But when Nick at Night was prime, they ran the commercial for that all the time.
It was good.
Yeah. So I was like,
I didn't know that.
When I was going through the, I'm like, I know that name. And then that was such a, that was such like a spotlight. Like, here's a comedian you might know doing 3 minutes of nonsense. That I like when they do that.
Yeah, I really
like
that. That's
how they should use some of these people, you know.
Just cool cameos.
Yeah.
People you didn't even know were on the boat, or just a little tiny character. I agree.
Right. There was a good deep. If this episode did anything well, the non-portal people, there was a lot of them, right? And there was like good, they did good work. So
I thought so. The only other person not listed was Marla Adams, played Glenda Fairbanks. I think she was that older woman.
Oh, yeah. Got some thoughts on Glenda.
More than 40 TV appearances. You know how that goes back then.
Man trap.
No kidding. Oof. All right. Now we know the players. We know the plot.
It only goes downhill from here.
Well, let's hop on this stinkeroo. All right. Let's get on the boat.
I'm glad one of us didn't have like a really favorable opinion to this. Like,
oh, it would have been even better.
Imagine if I was like, my favorite episode. I loved it so much.
Like, before we get started, I just want you to know this is the best episode I've ever seen.
How much I love this episode.
It's just it's terrible. Here we go. We open with Doc telling Gopher and Isaac that he was able to hire a nurse. He adds that her name is Dawn Delaney. She used to be a Vegas showgirl, apparently, and he makes the comment, she makes Raquel Welch look like Don Knotts.
Ouch.
Ouch. And then I was thinking, well, what if Don Knotts is on the show? Like, I wonder what Don Knotts is thinking of that. Is that funny? I don't know.
Well, I mean, to me, it'd be more insulting to Raquel Welch. Don Knotts knows what he is.
Yeah, you know what?
Hell,
I read that completely wrong then. Yeah, you're 100% correct. Why would Don Knotts care? I'm gonna beautiful Italian
looking
lady.
Either of those women. Yeah,
yeah, star of Ghost and Mrs. Chicken. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Mr. Limpet, the hottest man in town. So, I am always in favor of the Princess Cruise Lines unfreezing their hiring practices, right? This boat needs more staff. I think this boat needs a nurse because the only time we've seen Doc get any help was during that labor delivery, and then that nurse disappeared. So who knows what happened there? You should not let Adam Bricker hire the nurse.
No, God, no.
And you should not let Adam Bricker hire an attractive nurse that he knows and seems to lured her hire over.
So weird. So yeah, weird. Like, sure. like he kidnapped her or something.
This like is she's a, just, we always have the Julie scale, but this is a deep dive for Mr. Bricker.
Here comes Steubing. he comes over and he starts hiccuping. Just as this nurse kind of gets on the ship, Doc introduced her to Isaac and Gopher, and he like quickly gets her out of there because, you know,
yeah,
nursing and doctoring.
I thought it was nice that he kind of introduced them as his buddies. Like, he was like, these are my buddies, Gopher and Isaac, which, you know, that's nice. Whether I thought he meant it or not.
Well, it's interesting now because you think about the chain of command, too. Maybe Doc's just kind of off on his own branch, you know, where maybe nobody reports to Doc because he's a doctor. The only person who would report would be the nurse, right?
I guess my thing is, it's like, I feel like Doc is that kind of guy where, like, you wouldn't say that you guys are friends. You would say you're coworkers, even though you might want to think it, until he says it first. Like, those guys weren't going to say, this is my friend Doc. But Doc can say it to them, and now they can feel comfortable.
He's the most charming guy in the room.
Yeah, except,
you know, that's who he is. So it's like I'm not surprised he said that. I think it's cool. But at the same time, he's like, I don't know. Maybe we saw a little glimpse at honest Adam Bricker.
We saw a glimpse at a lot of Adams, including a couple that maybe should be having their license hearing. So,
yeah, I agree. Harry and Phyllis Morrison, they step onto the ship with their son, Bruce. Number one, it's a little odd to me to go for two, like a parent to take their son on a cruise with them. Like, why? Not that that's the point, but why would you?
But it is.
Yeah. So, okay. What are you doing?
We almost have to unpack this twice because this storyline ends up having the most who gives a crap.
Who gives? Yeah.
Of any of them. But yeah. So at the time of this, right, the logic behind it is their son is dating someone and he's head over heels for this woman. And the parents, as far as we know, are, I assume, dragging him onto this cruise to meet other people. Now, there's a lot of ways that could have happened. This could have been something they do as a family all the time and they're just happening to, I don't know. But yes, it is very strange to go on a cruise with your parents to have them pimp you out to potential women, which is what happens for the first half of the episode. This is why you don't talk about your relationships with your parents when you're 21 years old.
It's too much. It's too much.
It's too much. Probably not worth it. Your parents are way too involved in your life. If it gets to whatever happened this week to Bruce Morrison, your parents are way too involved.
So let me ask you, right? What are the chances that Bruce still lives at home? I think they're pretty freaking high.
Yeah, it almost has to be, right? They're
pretty high. And if so, how is he getting married to anybody?
These kids. Well, he's going to law school, right? Well, listen, if the Morrison family has enough money for three boat tickets, they must be loaded.
Yeah, that's true. That's
you
true.
See old Monty's jackets? I mean, this is not a cash poor family.
It's so weird how much like Monty Hall looked in this episode. Like no bones about it. My name is Monty Hall.
He just needed a little stick microphone. That was the only thing he was missing.
He had a name tag. Yeah, he just needed a stick. That's funny.
How did they not do there's always another girl behind door number three or something like that? Why how do you not do that? Like, come on.
Just a little wink.
Just a wink. Just give me a wink.
Or let him run the apple game. Something.
These sledgehammers of plot that they're giving us. It's
awful. Harry, Monty Hall, tells Julie that Bruce is very single. And when Julie remarks about all the pretty young ladies she's been checking in, which is a little weird too. Like, it's one thing if the boat is a place where people meet. It's another thing if like the cruise director's like, oh yeah, I saw a bunch. You know, and it's just like a weird.
Here's a list of all the rooms where the girls are.
It's weird. Bruce says he already has a lady at home. His mom is reminding him that he promised to forget about Ginger. Well, they really lay it out, don't they? They really lay it out all in one.
Yeah, I mean, which is fine. But it's like, I just couldn't get past the, and again, when we get to the twist, quote unquote, there's a different set of problems with that. But like, I just can't believe as an adult you would, I guess, unless you're like literally going on it because you want to go on a cruise, right?
Yeah. I just wouldn't want to go.
When I was 21 years old, I would not want to go on a cruise with my parents, let alone to have them try to fix me up with strangers.
Okay, well, here's the thing. So his parents obviously didn't know her. Why didn't he just introduce her to them?
Yes.
Off the damn boat. We could just eliminate this story.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. I have that note later.
Why didn't we even have to do this? Yeah. It could have been like, hey, let's get off the boat. I can introduce you to her now.
Well, and because
we all live in LA.
And here's the thing. You're right. One dinner would have worked because 15 minutes with them and they're like, you have our blessing. Why? Yeah. Why do you have the blessing?
That's what I'm saying.
Nothing has changed. You guys only are one person. Your problems yesterday are your problems today.
Yeah, just because you're floating on water doesn't mean your problems go away. It's the same thing. Bruce didn't even have to go on the cruise. Bruce has no balls. He hasn't. Right. This is the way you got to tell him.
This is
you couldn't have done the same thing in a restaurant and had her at a table next to you. It would have saved so much money.
The only thing I could think of was
so dumb.
Did this become something where, like, knowing full well that the two of them were in on it too, right? Like the twists where Ginger's on the boat. We should explain this. Turns out Ginger is on the boat, pretending to be a different person, and they meet up, and the parents love them. So that's the actual shorthand. But
that's it.
So
yeah.
So knowing that. Is it something where Bruce was getting crap from his parents about Ginger and then they were doing all this nonsense and he's like, you know what? I'll go on the cruise and I'll do all this. And then he brings Ginger, or was the cruise already booked? He was already stuck and then he decided to bring Ginger. It doesn't make it better. It just makes it different. I also don't care.
No, I don't either. None of this had to take place on a boat.
Ginger's 38 years old.
Yeah. What is going on? Ginger has liver spots. Like, what is going on?
Older than Frankie Avalon.
Jesus. Like, I thought she looked just like it, like Sissy Spacek, circa 1997.
But it's bad because we talked about it, and we'll continue to talk about it. How it's like this storyline count is going to be an ofer, but it's like, man, I'm out on this story already.
It's
like I don't care over, and I can't.
Well, they told us the whole story, and we're just like, no. We already know what's about to go down.
There's nothing, even the twist, which did not do anything for me. There's nothing they could have done to fix this. It's terrible. That's bad. It's like minute six, and I'm already out on one of your storylines. Like,
then you'd look down to see how much time is left in the episode, and you're like, 37 more minutes of okay. It's because you know a third of the rest of the episode is just garbage. Like all right. I'm glad we're on the same page. I was out right at the beginning of the story because I knew what was about to happen, and I did anyway. All right. Gopher greets a young woman. Oh, here we go. Gopher greets a young woman registered as Diana Lane. And he says he'll do anything. He's getting a little flirty. And she says, thanks, but I'm already spoken for. That's Ginger. Let's just cut right through it. That's Ginger.
Yeah, what a twist.
What a twist. And then they do it right in the beginning. Well, she was incognito.
Yeah, their twist doesn't make it past act two. That's how bad it was.
They shouldn't have let you know till she was getting off the boat. That's when you should have done.
It wouldn't have mattered.
It's just terrible.
You know what would have saved this? What would have saved this was they do everything, right? They have this sneaky plot, and then there's another woman, and he actually does fall in love with her by accident. And then her and Ginger fight. That would have been more interesting. This was not interesting.
Maybe the only way I'd be okay with that is if they got Sherry Martel to play the other woman.
I thought you were going to say the only way you'd be more interested is if they got shot.
I mean, 6'1", you know, I'm just a big Sherry Martel fan.
Hey, Monty, come over here. This is so bad. We're in act one. I already don't care about
we haven't even met all the people on the boat yet, and it's just like, screw this. Now you know how we felt watching this.
Yeah.
Cool. There comes Steubing. He's meeting his old buddy, Mr. Dan Michaels, who is played by Leslie Nielsen again. Introduces his much younger fiance, Laura Wakefield. No. Well, it's funny. The emphasis is not on how old he is. The emphasis is on how young she is. It's odd to me, especially when he's the oldest one there. You know what I mean? It's like it's skewed in this weird way.
So the breakout is Leslie Nielsen's 51 and Laura Wakefield is 30, right? Because it's 21 years difference. Is that the thought?
Yeah.
It's 51 and 30, basically. So,
I mean,
which is, listen, that's a decent chunk and I get it. But we just had an episode 2 weeks ago about a father.
I knew that was going to come up. Yeah.
Right. A father and a daughter that people thought were dating, right? It's the exact same storyline, just with, and by the way, this couple looks more age appropriate to that storyline than that guy who fell into the band.
Yeah, I agree. Because he looks older and she looks younger. Like you've got the perfect thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
So, that again, kind of took me out of it because
It was just stupid.
Bad job. And we just saw him.
And he's not giving us much. I hate to say that. He's not giving a lot of effort in these episodes.
No, he's like everything. They're connotating oldness by how tired he is. How many he naps he wants to take.
Always wants to take a nap. Steubing's buddy informs him that he and his much younger fiance are going to get married in Cabo San Lucas. Also, he would like Steubing to be the best man. That's nice.
So I agree. That is very nice.
That's very
nice. Here's my problem. Last week, Stubing, he had that friend Herb or whatever, whoever it was.
That's Julie's cat.
The boat with his daughter, right?
Oh, and yeah.
And they were friends and all that stuff. This week, these guys are best friends, like best man, whole thing.
Right.
Zero explanation. Zero backstory.
Nothing.
Zero one sentence that builds the worlds a little bit. Why can't you tell me something, anything in the Navy? Used to sail together.
Well, maybe Stubing and Dan Michaels were on the same ship that had no steering wheel. You know what I mean? They just floated.
I'm just saying.
They don't give you much. Oh, I haven't seen you since something. Give just right. anything.
Right. Just come on.
I haven't seen you since
nothing.
When you know Stubing's an overshare, you know he's going to say like, oh, this is Dan, my old friend from blah, 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 blah. Like just a natural. From
parts unknown.
Just parts unknown. Truth or consequences, New Mexico.
That's the kind of stuff that actually bothers me. This episode sucks.
It's careless, man.
No matter what.
It's lazy and careless.
Just give me a sentence. It goes a long way.
Well, they're giving you all this detail about they're going to get married in Cabo San Lucas, like all this extra stuff that really had nothing to do. Right. We've established that there's a friendship.
Right.
The whole best man, that had nothing to do with anything.
No.
Like.
Oh, Dan, it's great to see you. I don't think I've seen you since, you know. I haven't
seen you since, shoot, I don't even remember. I can't even share any details about our friendship because I don't remember. Unless it was some clandestine, some weird. Laura, his much younger fiance, she sort of wanders into the gift shop. My man, Gary Foster, here he comes. Let me just say this. I've made a note. Lots of exposed chest hair. Was the undershirt a lost art in the late 70s?
Maybe that's why he was in the gift shop.
That guy had so much like chest showing.
Hey, if you hire, what was his name? Clint Little or whatever. If you hire him, you know what you're getting.
You know what you're getting. You're getting an awesome Love Boat guest.
Gary Foster was a man of action though. Like this
two
is,
minutes.
We're in line still.
He didn't.
This is the lobby.
He's got no time to wait. He would have loved, what's her name? Penny.
He would have loved Penny.
He would have loved
Clark Tyler stealing those bags in line. Like these are people who don't wait for you to breach the door.
Well, even the monkey would have been like, Gary Foster, get me a banana now. And Gary would been like, I'm a man of action.
I did think it was funny when he's flirting with Laura and he's like, I always get in trouble with people with that name. Yeah. And she's like, Lauren. And he's like, Mrs. It was like, kaboom.
Yeah, he did say he always gets in trouble with married women. Yeah. Yep. So basically, he's like, hey, whatever.
Homewrecker.
I'm Gary Effin Foster. All right.
Shoot. Bananas Foster.
Yeah. Gary Bananas Foster. I drove my van here. Whoo. Just awful. Laura, the much younger fiance, returns to Dan Leslie Nielsen and suggests they go throw confetti. Because here's the thing, because they just got on the ship.
Right.
Just now.
You assume they live in Los Angeles because everybody does, right? So you were probably in your home 45 minutes ago.
That's funny. Yeah, exactly. You just, it hasn't even been an hour. Like,
right. But, right.
He says, I want to take a nap.
50. He's 51. He didn't walk.
50. This guy. She looks, you know, obviously a little disappointed. And then here comes this homewrecker. She says, she knows. She goes, listen to your father, dear. Fathers usually know best. How come nobody said that to the people? Well, they did last week, yeah. And
she knew exactly what she was doing.
She sent, I bet you, she sent Gary Bananas Foster into that shop. Like, she was the whole, she knew what she was doing.
Glenda the good bitch.
No kidding. Glenda wastes no time. Oh my God, nope. That's funny. Oh.
I just wait till you have a mouthful of drink now.
Every time, every time. Okay. Sitting by the pool. Here goes Monty Hall again. He's telling his wife that he hopes his son, Bruce, hope he realizes, you know, how dumb it would be for him to marry the first girl he falls in love with or falls for. Well, then they notice Diana Lane and Ginger, same person again. The anger's starting to build. Nearby, they start talking to her. Oh, you're traveling alone? Oh, you're single? Oh, she says she tells him she has her heart set on marrying her boyfriend. Monty Hall makes a face. Says, I don't know why anyone would want to get married in the age of 21. But what really Monty's really saying is, why would anyone ever get married? Is basically what he's saying. Forget the numbers. He Monty is an Hall, unhappy man.
I tell you one thing. Monty Hall is never, I don't remember the rules of Let's Make a Deal, but he's never like putting up door number three when it comes to sowing his wild oats. He is very pro.
Yeah, he's pro. He's pro. He doesn't need this.
Settle down.
Yeah, don't. Don't.
But this is where they say she's 21 years old, and there is no way that woman looks
like
she's
21. There's no way. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Monty Hall's wife chimes in and tells Diana, we're just going to call her Diana, that they have a son and that he's 22, who obviously still lives at home, and he has the crust cut off of his sandwich by his mom.
What? What are the odds that, so you get, if you're not Ginger, right? If you're just a lady on the boat,
right?
Single, looking to mingle.
Sure.
You hit the deck chair and this older couple is basically hitting on you for their son. And then you're going to go to dinner with a son who is this cuckolded by his parents.
Yeah, it's kind of.
Yeah, that's not a thing. That's
like
not
they just thing. Yeah, they I don't, you know, the word emasculate gets thrown around a lot, but geez.
And then it turns out that they end up, the dinner is with all four of them. Like, it's not even like a solo dinner. This
They're
is
so weird. You know, he's living so at home. Weird. It's just, just say you don't want him to get married. Just
Mark's not Mark. Bruce is not that good looking to put up with that.
No. No,
he's no Gary Foster. He's no Bananas.
No Foster. Bananas no. Foster. That's no, right. No. It would look great on like a satin jacket. Gary Bananas Foster.
Maybe that's we should great. Be. When we start making merch for season one, that's what we need to go need back to get, and make a Gary Bananas Banana Foster. Foster like, and on the back, it says the thing about getting in trouble with people named Mrs.
That's it. That whole quote in banana yellow on a black satin jacket.
Oh my God.
Like something like Arn Anderson would wear, that kind of style satin jacket.
Yeah, it's the worst font.
That'd be awesome. Here comes Julian Gopher, clang, 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 making all this noise. People are chilling at the pool. First day. No, not anymore. And I'm like, my notes are like, what is happening here? What are they doing?
Yeah.
And they're like, we have a great way that you can meet people. Take off your stinky, sweaty shoe and put it in this bucket. And then at first I'm like, why didn't they do this a couple weeks ago?
During the actual single screws? Well, because they had the computer men. They didn't need the shoe bit.
Yeah, they matched four people out of 500. And they go, oh, sorry.
This was wild. Like this, there's a couple wild sequences in this. This was wild just like,
who
because.
Wrote this? Yeah.
Well, first of all, you know what's funny? In talking to enough people on the show that have been on cruises, this feels like something that would happen on a cruise.
That's what I was thinking too. I'm like, oh, gee, I would not want.
Oh, I have a note.
Relax.
I have a note that says this does not seem like a Mike Taylor event.
No. There's no zero chance. Oh, that'd be awful. He just wants some P&Q on the cruise, right? I would think.
It's so out of character in terms of what we've seen. Like Julie and Gopher are like,
that's their job coming in. Yeah, it was so just, weird.
But it does make sense. But it is weird that we haven't seen it at all until this week.
But it's like, if this is what Julie's job is, then why is she checking people in?
Anything that they need, I guess. I mean, we've established that they have five people. So, no, well, this true. Week they have six. They have six. So maybe she's got time because she's not the backup nurse. So
that is true. I forgot.
But it was
that.
A lot. It was like it was whistle blows, and all of a sudden they're just what? Out there. Just like,
marching band comes stomping through the pool. Like what?
Yeah.
And they're doing you're this. Right, but
you are right, yeah. though. It's like I don't want to do that. I don't want to be on a cruise, but I definitely don't want to do that. And you kind of just took over that whole area. So it's a key party. It really is a key party.
It really is.
So.
I was at a dinner years and years and years ago, in a previous life, and there was a sort of like rite of passage in this for this dinner where they'd be like, "Oh, everyone of such and such rank, get on the dance floor."
Nice.
And I was of such and such rank, and they go, "All right. We're going to have y'all dance, like do a Soul Train line one after another. Give us your best dance moves." And I turned around knowing it would be hell to pay and just walked out, got in my car, and drove home.
All the way home.
All the way home. like where I was born home. Right. You know what I mean? Where I felt
back
safe.
Back to the hospital.
Yeah, back to the hospital to avoid that. I don't understand organized fun. That's not like a sport. That just doesn't make sense to me.
I will say this. They did not force people to do it. It's just that they did it in an area where people were already
well, they were just
relaxing.
Like, yeah, it was just odd. It was but just odd.
When Dan tried to go take a nap this time, I was like, yeah, I get that one, Dan. I'd probably sit that one out too.
It's just...
Would you really want your, I mean, I know what you're going to say.
What's that?
I don't know that I would want to be doing that as a married person with some rando stranger. Like, I know what that game is, right? I know it's not spin the bottle, but it's like you're doing the pass the orange thing. I mean, that's intimate. Like, so.
I guess it depends. I'd be like, well, this is how I pass my orange. I'd be like, no, you're not supposed to. I'm like, well, that's how I pass it.
Yeah.
But even like.
What if you just took the orange and chucked it off the boat?
That's what it is. Or you try to just smack the orange out of their neck. I don't know. Even if it's like all single people, because this sort of activity shouldn't be on like married. It's just weird.
You are right. You know? Well, or, and again,
but even then, it's weird, man. Like,
they weren't forced you to do it. It wasn't like you'd be shunned from society. No, but it does feel more like a mixer that would be either, like you said, on the Valentine's Day cruise or on a Saturday night, the first Saturday night at the bar. Something you would have a little more choosing to do the mixer.
Well, yeah, doing it like the first pool day. Oh, I would be pissed if I'm out there
and
trying
doing
to
it aggressively, like you said, whistles blowing. They're
all this. Give me your up. Shoe. I'm like, get out of here. Where did I pay money to go on a cruise to play this? I came on a cruise to get away. Isn't that the whole point? Get on the cruise and get away. Then right. I can get away.
Yeah. Plus, it's always weird when you have one shoe on and one shoe off.
He's walking circles.
Yeah.
It's like if you have. Some comedian
like Bill Bixby driving a wheelchair. It's just
Bruce Monte Hall's son. He comes from the pool, goes to their table. They introduce Diana / what's her real name? I don't even know what to call
Ginger.
Her anymore. Ginger.
Well, it's still Diana now. It's not Ginger yet.
So now the Harry, the son, it's just because we all know it's so stupid. So now he's like, oh, let's have dinner tonight and then go dancing and decide if, you know, you're ready to marry if you're ready to get married at such a young age, snooze fest. And we'll drop like, the F-bomb there because it just.
Well, here's the other thing, too. And again, they may have said it because I cared so little. But like, they never portrayed it as though Bruce, this was his first girlfriend or anything, right? They're just objecting to him getting married at age 22.
Sure.
But I'm sure Bruce has been out there with other people. Maybe not, but they should have said that then.
Or maybe something bad. Maybe there was a bad breakup. Something.
They're all bad, Mike. Monty. Oh, I hate this storyline. I hate it.
I have no interest in the storyline. It's just stupid. All right, let's move on to Laura. Uh-oh. Laura's shoe is selected by Gary Banana's foster. Here we go again.
He's rooting through the box.
He did a frozen envelope thing with Laura's shoe. That's what it was.
The Knicks, Gary Foster got Laura's shoe the way the Knicks pick. Got Patrick Ewing. Yes.
Totally plausible. And they're sort of talking, and Leslie Nielsen's watching, and he's sort of a little, not a little low-key, but he's not too happy about it. Yeah, but hold on. But then why are they picking shoes out of a basket?
I think he is happy about it because I don't think he wanted to deal with it. Would he have rather it be Joe E. Ross than Gary Foster? Probably, but I don't think he wanted to do anything.
They didn't have the same room.
Glenda's on it.
So Glenda, don't even worry about it. Glenda's going to take care of these things. He reaches in the basket, selects some shoe for the woman that said, "Listen to your father, dear." She comes over. Her name is Glenda Fairbanks. She said she hates these sort of things. And she invites him to buy her a drink, which is...
First of all...
Get it, Glenda.
Good. That's what I would want to do in the game like that. A couple things.
Yeah.
If you remember Leslie Nielsen's previous role...
I do.
He... was married to advice columnist Eva Gabor, and he goes to get them drinks, and when he gets back, she's talking to all these people, and so he goes and basically buys a drink for a strange woman and spends a lot of time with her. It's the same damn thing.
It's the same. It's like it flipped. Everything's right. Like inside out.
Right.
They're talking. They order
Pina coladas
from Isaac, who we don't see making them again. We've never seen Isaac really make a drink.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like, I like it when they switch up the drinks. It just feels like pina colada is just becoming the easy one, which I get. It's a boat drink, but...
Like, I challenge them to do a new one every week. Like, don't repeat a drink.
I want to be able to look one up for the show, right? It's like, give me a zombie. Give me a rum Collins or something.
What if they did one drink the whole season? You'd be like, oh, that's clearly season 3, because that's hurricane season.
Oh, the official drink of season 3.
A lot of marketing opportunities out there.
So they, like you always say, nothing subtle here. They paint with the broad brushes. So now bear in mind, like I said, you are of the same age as Dan in this. They paint him like he's stubby. So it's like, first of all, the lady, Glenda's like, I haven't been on a boat since World War II, which is fine. But World War II ended 30-something years ago. So yeah, it's
how
like,
old are you, Glenda? Right?
It's like, I haven't been on a boat since the Gulf War.
What?
But my absolute favorite part is...
Oh, no.
So, I know before they start to sing, which is bad enough, Glenda's like... Remember this old one? Because she was a USO singer. She's like, remember this old song? And then she starts singing. But she says it like, remember this old one? Like she was selling a Time Life set of 1940s war music. Like it was just like... It was just so ham-fisted.
And it was 30... Okay, think about it now. What music was going on 30 years ago for us?
So World War II ends in 45, right?
Right.
So, and this is 78. So, this is 33 years ago. So, 33 years ago would have been 1991.
Okay.
So that's like
Boys to Men. That's where that was.
Right. We're just era. Coming up on grunge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pre-Pearl
I haven't been on a boat since Desert Storm. Remember this one? Come as you are.
Hey, you remember Storm and Norman Schwarzkopf? Yeah. Last time I was on a boat, it was with him. It's so weird. Let me sing some songs from 90. Yeah. What?
It was just and I feel like if you went on the Sun Princess next week, she's running the same game on some other old.
She's like
I think she's got
women. She's going to drug you and rob you kind of thing.
What do you call an age appropriate cougar? Like, that's what she almost felt like. Because she hits on Stubing on the way out the door. Like, she was just.
She's playing.
Almost worked, too. Almost worked.
It would have worked on Doc. She picked the wrong guy.
Yeah.
It would have worked on Gopher.
It wouldn't have worked on Doc this week. But yeah, most weeks it would have worked.
Most weeks, yeah. So they're singing. Yeah, I wrote, they're singing, I'll Be Seeing You. I wrote, what the hell is happening here? Like, how did it get to this? Like, what?
It's like 1:30 in the afternoon.
What are we doing?
They haven't even had their drink yet.
No.
And they're not going to get their drink because Isaac starts singing with them. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very odd. Yeah, here comes Laura. She's none too pleased. She makes jokes about them being like Donnie and Marie.
There's no way Leslie Nielsen didn't know who Donnie Marie was. I get it. You're old. But like Donnie and Marie were a pretty big deal and pretty milquetoast. Like, I feel like the olds were a lot of their audience. Like, if she had said, you're no New York Dolls or something, like, maybe she wouldn't have known that.
Right, right. Yeah, you're no, somebody.
Some underground.
Bee Gees, you know, Velvet Underground.
Right, but it was just like, you know, we've dated younger people, not to this degree, but it's like, you have to have some commonality. If you're literally like, I don't know anything.
Yeah, like, who's Donnie about? And Marie? Yeah, it's not exactly the youngest. It's just
right.
He just go take a nap.
Like this,
go take a nap.
This plot line falls apart in many ways, but one of them is like, what do they actually do before they get on the cruise? Like, what is their life?
I don't even think they live in the same place. They didn't share a room.
Okay, I had a question about that. When we get to it.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure about that either. That was weird.
That was weird, right? We'll get to it.
Yeah.
Mrs. Martin, a bit of an older woman. Her neck was hurt during the stupid Julie Gopher Orange game. Walks into Doc's office. Dawn, the nurse, says Doc's not here, but she could try to, quote, snap her neck back into place.
It's a medical term.
Sure. And Doc comes back to the office. He hears like a scream. He rushes into the room and finds a very happy Mrs. Martin calling the nurse a lifesaver for fixing her problem. I guess if you have a neck problem, you just snap it back in place. Like, was it like popping a knuckle? Like if you jam your finger at a basketball game, you just gotta.
Listen, you're not a nurse.
I'm not a nurse. I don't know.
So did you notice when, because Mrs. Martin is brought into the office by Gopher, and then Gopher leaves to go find Doc and tells Doc that Mrs. Martin's in the office. I think she has a broken neck. <It's> like, okay. There's no doctor path for the pursers, apparently. Like,
no, come on, no, Gopher. He's got no idea. That's so funny. So Mrs. Martin leaves. Doc tells Dawn, the nurse, hey, I don't mind you doing my work for me. Tells her to take the rest of the afternoon off, but she leans in to hit the smooch. But she avoids him. And she said, because they're at work, right? Because, you know, like society rules, societal rules. That's why it's just, she offers to spend the afternoon kind of fixing the files in the filing cabinet, which
we're now in basically a 30 minutes of the worst of Adam Bricker. I mean, this is between the harassment and the erasing of lines and the complete ignorance of new medical information and the treating her like crap and eventually just being a straight up dick. Yeah. I mean, this is bad. This is as bad a one episode character arc as anybody short of that Julie Priest one. And the only reason it's not as bad as that one is because they do try to save him at the end with the apology. But like, this is awful.
I don't like the direction this character is going at all in this episode. Mm-mm. It's too much. It's way too way much.
Even for the time. Much. Even for the time, this
like,
is wrong.
Like, we get it, but like, you have to make him somewhat likable. He has to have something you root for, because what he was doing, it wasn't funny. Like, it wasn't getting laughs. It was just cringy.
Well, and they also, this wouldn't have made it better, but at least would have been something. They never, when he was getting like through the introduction of her and stuff, he knew her as a Vegas showgirl, but it's not like he said, and we dated, or we've been seeing each other or anything. There's a level of assumption.
Yeah.
It's quid pro quo is what it is. I mean, I've watched enough workplace harassment video trainings that it's like, it's quid pro quo is what he's doing, really.
I get it, but like the way he described her and the way he's treating her is like she used to be like a prostitute or something. Like, just know, you know, it's so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whoever wrote.
It's awful. And to your point, it's not funny.
No, it's not funny. It's just creepy and it's creepy. And you're not doing anything.
No. And it's
positive
like,
for the character at all. It's just.
No, not at all. Not at all.
If I was him, right. And I mean this honestly, if I was the actor, I was Ted Capel, I wouldn't be happy. Bernie. I'm not.
Bernie. Bernie. Who the hell's Ted Capel?
That's his brother. I wouldn't be happy about it. In all honesty. I mean, obviously you got to do what you got to do, but I'd be like,
it goes back to what we always say, right? Is the inconsistency from episode to episode. Now it hasn't hit Doc for a while.
Yeah, but this was like making up for the entire season.
Yeah. And then I don't think we'll discuss it when we get there, but it's like, I don't know that the apology at the end alleviates it.
I agree.
And it'll be a one episode thing. Like, it won't be consistent because nothing is, but it's like, that was bad. That was, except for, you know what, I should have said this, except for the Julie one and then Steubing attacking John Ritter, basically. Those are the two most awful, you know.
Which one's worse? I still think the Steubing one might be the worst.
Steubing one's worse. The Julie one was cringy, but she didn't, like, do anything wrong to anyone. It was more just
she didn't force herself. Yeah, she didn't force herself physically on somebody else.
No. The Julie one was just sad from, like, a... You're kind of plummeting here.
Where's your pride? Like, come on, dog.
But the Steubing one is legit wrong. This one is legit wrong. And it's almost worse because you're her boss.
Right. Well, and the sad thing is now we're talking two stories out of three where we're just like the cringiness of the Doc storyline with the nurse. And then as we talked about that other, you know, Monty Hall storyline is just garbage. Yeah. So
we're putting a lot of eggs in the third basket.
And Leslie Nielsen, and Leslie Nielsen just decided he did not want to act in this one. He did not give two craps.
Bananas Foster and Glenda are trying their hardest.
Man. All we can do is root for those two. That's all we can do. At dinner, Phyllis, Monty Hall's wife, asked Diana, aka Ginger, if she's serious about marrying her guy back home. She says she's 100% dedicated. to supporting her future husband through law school once she graduates. You know, this just, oh, here's that spoon again. There you go. Yeah.
And that definitely lends to your thought that he lives at home.
He lives at home. So, yeah. Bruce comes over, invites her to dance. Monty Hall and his wife agree that this one is a keeper.
And so again, Monty Hall's like ogling her, like she's got all the things in the right places. Like, come on, man. Come on.
Like, it's weird. Gopher and Isaac are watching Doc as he dances with Dawn, the nurse. And they're just saying how smoking hot she is and this and that. Julie comes over and says that since she earned her own way through nursing school, they might, you know, may not, you know, they may want to look at her as more than just an object.
Yeah. Good for you, Julie.
Good for you, Julie.
Julie had a good episode. Didn't get to do a lot, but Julie, she was a
sparse episode. Just not. Right,
but she was strong in every part. Of it, so.
I'd rather have that.
Yes.
Where she's consistent.
I have a Julie theory that I'll probably save for the next Julie thing, but I realized that when I was listening back to something for the Stubbies, that made me contextualize the Julie season a little differently. So probably save that for when it's a little more relevant. But
I look forward to that. Mrs. Martin's back. She's interrupting Doc and Dawn, the nurse, to see if anyone can look at the back of this gentleman. I guess it was her partner in the stupid orange thing.
Game, yeah.
Named Mr. Ross.
Which is the guy's name, which is Joe E. Ross.
That's fantastic. So
lazy.
What a great cameo.
Yeah.
What a great cameo. Doc says, Doc tells the man, thanks, Doc. Tells the man to go back to your cabin and get some rest.
Like, never has work to do, right?
He has work to do here, like, but he's like, yeah.
But we always assume he would do work if work was thrust upon him. He legit boots this patient because he wants to keep dancing with Dawn. Like, dereliction of duty. Like, it's
like he'll deliver a baby if the baby's coming out,
but he was standing,
he's not gonna meet you at the hospital, right? He just happened to be there.
If he was dancing with that girl,
no, he's not, he'd be like, go for somebody. Dawn start, okay, here comes Stubing with his stupid hiccup thing again. Dawn the nurse is trying to give him some advice. Doc pretty much tells her to stop talking and for him to start gargling with salt water, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's not even I've heard that if you have a sore throat, not if you have the hiccups.
That so might have stupid. Been a thing, but yeah, I've never tried it.
Never.
I hold my breath.
I only ever get one hiccup.
I haven't had them in a while, but yeah.
I actually, this summer I was driving, it was a long trip. I couldn't stop hiccuping. And I have like a cartoonish hiccup. It literally sounds like I'm saying hiccup. Yeah, it's just, yeah. Another reason why he's hateable. I feel like he's mocking me with his hiccups. Captain kind of walks away. Nurse Dawn the nurse tells Doc that she's reading up on some new techniques to treat hiccups. And she's just like, he's like, yeah, whatever. Let's make with the smooching and let me be creepy again. Uh-oh. Gary Bananas Foster, he's back again. The star of the Love Boat, Gary Bananas Foster. invites Laura to dance with him.
Did he cut in on Stubing?
Yeah.
Because wasn't Stubing dancing with her dancing first? That is ballsy. Cutting in on the captain.
Oh, the captain should have been like, nobody cuts in on the captain. Like, seriously? If Stubing had any kind of...
Right.
Again, no captain's table this week. Been missing for a while.
This would have been a
perfect episode for it.
This would have been a good one. Yeah, we could have used that. Yeah.
Stubing sits with Leslie, with Dan, with Leslie Nielsen. says how beautiful his fiance is, which is sort of a weird thing to say. Like, wow, Dan, your fiance is beautiful. Like, what? All right. Dan Leslie Nielsen agrees, but now he's thinking that maybe she'd be better off with someone closer to her age. Dan, in 20 years, I'll be almost 70. So I don't know if he was 51. That was the direct quote.
Maybe he's bad at, maybe he's bad at math.
Let's say he's 49. That would make her 29?
28.
Yeah.
So
either way,
this goes back to my theory of question of what do these guys do prior to this boat? Because what your relationship was fine enough that you were going to get married. And now one day where she's dancing with a different person, you see her in a whole different light. You realize you're 100 years old. This is a terrible idea. Like what?
Were you lying to yourself
the whole time, man?
No, he missed that nap.
He's cranky.
He missed that nap. He's cranky. He wanted to nap. He didn't want to throw confetti. He wanted to take a nap. This is the price you pay for not taking a nap. You're not yourself when you need a nap, you know.
That's all it. Have been solved. This episode would have been 14 minutes if he would have gotten that nap in.
That's it. Not too much to ask for. Stubing approaches the band and he says, can you play something from his generation? And now I'm thinking, what does that even mean?
Yeah, Stubing is, as we've talked about, 48 now, maybe at this point. Like Gavin McLeod is like 48. So they really need to just put an age on Stubing because they're really playing him much older than he is. But it would have been funny. I was hoping, again, this is just why this episode is so bad. It's just a little thing, but I was really hoping they would start playing two notes of like the old, like the Star Spangled Banner or like some ridiculously old song, right? As a joke.
Right.
But they didn't even do that. There were just so many little things that could have made this thing at least tolerable that they just chose not to do.
It is weird. It's just lazy. It's lazy.
And yeah, I didn't
21.9 million viewers. I mean, they're putting out this.
I didn't look to see who wrote the episodes. I know it's not our guy. Either.
No, I definitely know it's not our guy.
But I think I might for future episodes because this was just bad on every front with the even little stuff like that. But
I just hope these writers aren't back frequently.
Yeah, I hope they get keyholed. I will say this. The next sequence, there's just a lot happening all at once.
There's a lot happening. Things get a little hectic, yeah.
Okay, so I wrote down all the highlights, and we can go back. But this, I think this is everything that happens in this next like minute. So
it's a lot.
Dan gets up to go cut in on Gary and Laura.
Mm-hmm.
Gary sees it coming. Glenda cuts Dan off and asks him to dance.
They're working together.
Mm-hmm. Dan's like, yes. So then Laura sees this and takes a rain check on Gary's dancing. And then Dan says he wants to go dance with his fiance. But Glenda's like, well, that bitch ain't here anymore. Let's not waste this music.
That bitch is gone. Right. Waste this lovely old fashioned music.
Ugh. You know, remember this one? Yeah. It's like that was all within like a minute. That was great. That was the best part of the episode.
I tell you what, if Glenda's with him, they're not sleeping in separate rooms. Guarantee she doesn't play that crap.
Nope.
What?
No. No. I haven't been in separate beds since World War II.
That's funny. I haven't been in a separate bed since I watched Steamboat Willie as a child.
Me and the Rough Riders.
Above deck, Bruce is talking to Ginger. It's going deep in for the smooches, by the way. Like, it was graphic smooches going on there.
Well, they're dating.
I know, but like, you know, he said something that he's a terrific kisser, and she's like, you're not so bad yourself, Ginger. The whole point of that is to get the word Ginger out. So, cat's out of the bag.
And they wind up because he pauses for like 8 seconds, which is exactly what you would do, you know, in that situation.
Oh, sure.
But again, the most we have had some fantastic gotchas. The jewel thief.
Yeah.
The father daughter one from a couple weeks ago. Even some of the lamer ones, like Stooping being the benefactor of the orphans and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like the painters being con men. Like, they've all been good, but they've all been revealed in the fourth act.
Yeah.
Or later, even.
They this didn't even.
Know who gives a crap that they're doing it in the middle of act two.
Yeah, they pulled a ripcord. Like, they were, we don't even.
Who cares?
They knew.
Start the episode with it. Like, just do it that way. It's just so bad.
You know what? That's even better.
Yeah.
That fixes it right there. Because then it becomes, let's keep this from them and play this game.
Right.
So you've wasted all this time that you could have been using to sort of creatively
do something
with Monty Hall.
It's just terrible.
I do now. I wish Bruce would have said, let's make a deal to Monty Hall. I'm sure they couldn't. But now I kind of. Dan stops by Laura's cabin. Again, they don't share a cabin. They're engaged, but they're not in the same cabin.
Okay. So what? Now that you say that. So the scene that I bumped on was later when he's like, good night. Is it this one? Or I think it is this one where he says good night. He's just like,
yeah. Cause he's
leaving the room.
It's
and I guess I was like, June. I guess I thought maybe they had like one of those suites with the door, but now I think you're right, which is weird. Why would you be, is it because you don't see your wedding dress before? Like, is it one of those? Like,
if it was one of the, no, that dude's not doing that. This is essentially a Vegas, you know, crash wedding. There's nobody else on the boat that they know.
Explains a lot.
Just why aren't you staying together?
That's so. Plus, that's expensive.
I tell you what, don't tell Gary Bananas Foster that she's alone in that room.
That would have been great if Bananas was in there when that
he'll
door come, opened.
He'll bust right through that sheetrock. Yeah, but why do they have so the whole thing? It's this weird scene that she has his baby photo. Yes, she has
like why did you bring baby that? Photo
sitting on her end table, and she said that his mom gave it to her.
Yeah,
and then said if she thought that a baby of theirs would turn out as cute as he was, she'd want them locked away in a room together forever. What?
All right. Let's piece through this. First of all, Dan can't be that old. His mom's alive and photography existed when he was born. So
it's a sketch. It's a charcoal sketch of Dan as a baby.
It's a piece of a cave.
It's on a cave. Yeah.
What are you objecting to? Are you objecting to the objectification of Leslie Nielsen?
I don't understand why you're on a cruise to get married and she's got her fiance's
baby
photo. And it's not like there's more multiple rooms in a cabin. Like,
is it for the wedding?
What are you going to do with it at the wedding? It's just them. They had to get Stubing, who he probably just met the other day, as his best man. It's just full of holes. It doesn't make any sense.
Bringing a photo, we have now seen a few examples of people bringing photos on the cruise, and it is unusual. Now, I am someone who, no, granted, in this day and age, you have photos on your phone, but it's like, I don't have any.
Propping it up. It's not one of those like electronic, like, remember the frames with the digital.
My house is not lousy with frame photos. We need to be better at that, but I certainly wouldn't be packing them up for the 2 days.
Oh my God,
and
no.
Especially of the person I'm with. Like, it's like,
was that picture going to be there on their wedding night? Were they staying in that room? Like, that's the other thing. If I go to bed later tonight and Mrs. Taylor has a baby picture of me on her nightstand. Like, I just don't know. I just don't know how I'd react to that.
I want that to happen so bad.
It would just be bizarre. It's just weird. Like, it was such a, but it was a throwaway line. too.
It's not the most unusual photo we've seen brought on the in no. a frame on this season, but it's close. So
it's very odd. And of course, you know, Leslie Nielsen responds by saying he's pooped. I got to go to sleep in my cabin. Gives her a kiss goodnight and leaves.
Oh, I guess they are in different rooms because, and he doesn't, he learned his lesson because the other two times he wanted to take a nap, she talked him out of it. He didn't give her a chance this time.
Yeah, I'm in for the night.
Yeah.
I got to go. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great if he opens the door. It's like sponge shut. It's like blinding light because it
takes a tapioca pudding to go and he's out of there. I'll be asleep like by 5:05.
Like when Bart stays with the Flanders and they go to bed and they open the window and everybody's outside playing stuff.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny. What a weird scene, though. Mr. Ross, playing Mr. Ross, enters Doc's office. He's trying to get some treatment for his back. Dawn, the nurse, says Doc will be back in a minute. He can have a seat. She continues to work on her filing. And has to like hubba hubba bend over again. Just weird.
Yeah.
Mr. Ross, again, playing Mr. Ross, leans over to get a better look, which somehow puts his spine back. Like much yeah. like, I guess you could snap a neck back. You could snap a back back.
Sure.
Snap a back back.
And he just contorted himself in a way. Sometimes you just got to fight through the pain.
For merch, we should come up with a Mr. Ross doll where you could snap his back, like it snaps, and then Mrs. Ross with the snap, and they come with an orange. It's like a twofer and one removable shoe of hers.
we can have the shoe home game.
The shoe home game.
It's just an orange.
You can relive episode 21 whenever you want.
What's the most merch we have? It's for the worst episode of the season.
That's right. What do you have, like koozies? No, we have intricate play sets for action figures. That's what we do. Come on. Who uses koozies?
Also, don't watch episode 21.
Yeah, don't. Don't waste your time. You'll never know how to play with the toys exactly because you'll have no context. There's no name on the toys. We make it up. You'll do a better job than these people did.
Is that just the comedian Joey Ross?
That's him. Joey Ross, played by Joey Ross. So Mr. Ross is saying my back's better. And Doc again is sort of shocked. Dawn the nurse
says, well,
you could see it was coming though.
It's building. Yeah, it's building.
Well, no kidding. He didn't even want to help that guy.
Where were you, Doc? Like you said, come first thing in the morning, and you weren't there.
What's the Hippocratic? Isn't that the Hippocratic Oath? Isn't that against his oath?
Hippocratic Oath.
Zing. Boom. Nice.
Like that.
Diana, the nurse, tells. Oh, I'm sorry, I had the wrong one. Ginger. We're back to Ginger telling Bruce that he should just be honest and say that she's actually Ginger. So stupid.
All right, so this is where done. So originally the plan made no sense. Sorry, originally it made no sense because Bruce was going on the cruise with the parents.
Right.
Now that you know it's Ginger, how much of this was driven by them wanting to do this switcheroo? So was it like Monty Hall and his wife are going on the cruise and Bruce is like hinting around about going, trying to get a free cruise out of it? So, but again.
It's just weird for a guy that lives at home to be pushing his parents, who are essentially his roommates, to go on a cruise and then to buy. He didn't have money.
No.
How'd he made her pay for that?
You're getting a law school either there, bub.
It's terrible.
My one note about this whole thing is basically, if you didn't care about Bruce and Diana, you definitely don't care about Bruce and Ginger.
No. I think Ginger's worse. I really do. I think it's much
Ginger's
worse.
Like, well, I don't want to lie to your parents, please.
So ridiculous. Get with it, Ginger. Gary Bananas Foster's back again. Here we go, Gare. Laura, the young fiance of Leslie Nielsen, is telling Gary Bananas Foster how upset she is about all the time Dan is spending with Glenda. And then looks across the deck and sees Dan and Glenda talking.
Once again, Leslie Nielsen.
Same scene. Homewrecker.
Completely out in the open. No, he's not doing anything this time, but basically, just like episode 10, where he was hooking up in front of Eva Gabor, he is doing, he's just
the same.
They're in this weird, like, it looked like in the Death Star behind the blast shield. They're just kind of like, you know, behind some.
Where did you even film that? Like, what is that? Are you above the Sarlacc pit? What's going on?
Just such a weird scene.
This is a very weird scene.
What are we doing here?
That are you in the, like, why are you in the boiler room? Like, what?
Like, is Leslie Nielsen on? Was filming a movie and they just happened to get his dialogue into the show. Like, dude,
he was just screaming line. He didn't even look at the script. Line. Keep it simple. Line. So she's, she starts crying and Gary gives her a hug. And I wrote Shady Gary. Shady, yeah, Gary Bananas Foster.
I will defend Gary. He has been pretty stand up. He was calling her. He was calling her on it when she was like, he's spending a lot of time with Glenda. And he's like, oh, kind of like we are, you know. Now, that said, Gary Bananas Foster was right there if she decided to move on. But I don't think he crossed the line.
I think it's implied based on the fact that his shirt was open to his belly button and it looked like he had like a bit of a fur coat on. Like the guy was, you know what he's doing. He's white knight in the whole situation. That's what he's doing.
I think he's, you know what, Mike, sometimes the best quality is listening.
That's a good point. Bruce tells Monty Hall and his wife that he and Ginger, Diane, who cares, had an argument. And Harry's just like, meet someone new. Ugh. Harry tells Phyllis he's taken Bruce's extreme. He's like, I'm having a hard time with this because it's just.
Yeah. It's really not just, even. It's like setup. Two scenes they stretched into 14 scenes.
Yeah. They're setting a hook now. Like, stop. Just end it.
Right.
I'm just skipping it. They can all go to hell. Mexican Fiesta night. That's what much better.
So this one they clearly had thought about and announced prior, right? So there's no objection. Everybody's got their clothes because they're ready.
Packed.
Much like masquerade, not like a Western night. So, you know. And it's easy to pack a light costume for a Mexican theme night as opposed to the costume night. So
well, it's good. You know, you go, okay, pair of shorts. Matador costume, shorts. Yeah, I thought it was good. Julie asked Bruce if he'd like to share a margarita.
Man, Julie got the ice.
Oh, she's not wasting any time. You know Julie.
No. Yep.
I mean, because the parents, you know, he says he'd rather mope alone. Meanwhile, the same thing is happening with Ginger Diana. She declines an invitation from Gopher to hit the dance floor. Same.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Monty Hall and his wife see how miserable they both look. And Monty Hall's wife says, oh, maybe it's not a good idea for us to be sticking our nose. And what, this is a day after that he met this girl?
Right.
Or they after think the nose has girl?
Been after the nose has been stuck.
That's ridiculous, man. Just get out of here. With
these this. People shouldn't be parents.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
Laura tells Dan Leslie Nielsen that she's thinking of turning in early. And he kind of says something, but he doesn't say anything. And they sort of exit the lounge, which is a weird. That was the whole scene. I'm like, what?
I think these guys have mono or like low iron. They're just very tired.
Energy. It's just, I'm so tired. He's trying to, he's like, great. Man, that right up my alley.
I love it.
We can nap in separate rooms. Knock when you're done. Monty Hall and his wife tell Bruce they're not going to interfere in his love life. Here goes Bruce. He can't even hold it in. He has an apology and confesses that Diana, Ginger are the same person. Ginger comes over, tells Melanie Hall and his wife that she's sick of playing games, and she admits to being Ginger, and that she just wants them to like her. The two have a makeup smooch, and man, Mrs. Monty Hall gives him the blessing, like, okay, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So what we know is that she talked to them on the deck. I assume they talked at dinner.
Right.
And when they were fighting, it made their son miserable. I assume the son was miserable when you were telling him that he shouldn't get married to her 3 days ago. I don't know what changed.
So weird.
My interest level did not change. So
it's so fun. So weird. Question. Why is Isaac dressed as Zorro? I know this is a Mexican party, but.
He had to set up that awesome exchange with Doc.
Let me just ask you, right? Let's say that there's a Cinco de Mayo party.
Right.
And somebody walks in the door dressed as Zorro. I mean,
I'd allow it.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was clearly there for the Zorro Zero thing.
Yeah. No, it was good. Yeah. It was good.
Yeah.
Dawn arrives in the Acapulco lounge. Dawn, the nurse. Dark says how surprised he is that she's not in his exam room. Here we go, performing brain surgery. I bet he's had a couple drinks at this point.
Yep. Been drinking. Yep. All that anger floating to the top.
He's going to take a swing.
Yep.
Doc then punches Dawn. No, I'm kidding. you could see Doc was sort of hoping they could hook up. And here comes Captain Steubing, just dressed as a gunman with a mustache. Wanders over. He still has the hiccups. Yeah, it's a little, you know.
You hate Steubing so much.
I really do. Be a captain, sir. Like, come on.
No captain activities this week.
No, really nothing. Dawn, the nurse, administers some pressure to his diaphragm. Steubing sort of kind of looks into nowhere for a few seconds, and then he says, hiccups have been gone. And he's so happy. You know, he's not happy. Doc is not happy about this crap. Scene.
So the one thing that happened in that scene was, first, Isaac and Gopher kind of like have come and seen the light that she's more than just a pretty face. Like,
oh,
she's
yeah.
got a brain. And Julie is like legit excited to have a female coworker that isn't trying to steal her job. Like, I thought that was really like nice. That was like, we need to get Julie another coworker. That's a female on the boat.
But that would not work for Julie. As insecure as Julie is, you want a female crew member like that? I'm just, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think she could admit that.
She was in a good place this week.
She is medicated, sir. You know, this is where the downward spiral begins. When everything seems cool with Julie, it's not cool with Julie. Steubing tells Leslie Nielsen he's ready to be his best man. Again, no background as to why. And Mr. Nielsen says he's rethinking marrying a woman so many years younger than him, because he thinks that she'd be happier with someone her own age. And I wrote, like that bastard Gary Bananas Foster. That's who she'd be happier with. He says he's gonna go pack his stuff and fly to LA. So Laura can kind of for free to like she could roam the ship for younger guys. Like, what?
So Steubing,
what is going
up,
on? Yeah.
Steubing shows up ready to be the best man in shorts.
Well, in Cabo, bro.
Come on your pants, man. Come on. It's a wedding. Put your pants on.
I agree.
A wedding on the beaches. Put your pants on. Come on. You got dress whites. It's your best man.
You know, what's weird is I feel like, obviously, if you get married, you wear pants, right? I think that's a given. That's some low hanging fruit to me as well. Like if you're performing, like in a band, don't wear shorts. You can't wear shorts.
Well, like, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago that it was like he wore pants and long sleeves when he was going to go tell what's her name that her dad died.
Right.
And we were very proud of that, right?
At least he doesn't put pants on. Yeah.
Not for this Beth Mann thing.
Mm-mm. Yeah, he didn't even put on a dinner jacket.
Where are you keeping the rings?
He's ridiculous. Doesn't match up. Either that or Steubing just gives zero crap. This is what I wear in Cabo. Sorry. This is Cabo Steubing. I don't know.
You can buy that in the merch store.
You can. Cabo, you can. We have Steubing. We have Cabo Steubing shorts.
Comes with shorts and a marriage license.
That's right. That's right. Dan drops by Laura's cabin. Dan Leslie Nielsen. He's shocked to find her packing her things. She says she's flying back to L.A. so that he can be free to hang with older women. Isn't this Gift of the Magi? Isn't that what this is? I have
the exact same note.
Like, isn't
I have Gift of the Magi. Isn't this?
It rarely happens. And I don't know, but this is really Gift of the Magi here.
It really is.
That's so funny.
We've seen it a few times where people are just quick to decide they're going to fly back.
Sure.
So I know it's pre-9/11 and things are different, but like, so you can just buy a plane ticket same day and eat the cruise money that you spent. Like, are all these people this rich or are planes just so cheap?
No, because normally, you know, a big part of the expense is flying to the destination in which the cruise leaves. They all live in L.A. Yeah, like they walk to the boat. It's a huge, you know, and they're all flying back to LAX, the same thing. So it's like, oh, we all literally live in LA.
Yeah.
We're moving on. They exchange I love yous. You know, he promises to never do anything to make her cry. Neither one of them wants a life that doesn't include the other. Burka, burka. Okay.
I do.
We're back at Doc. Doc's snapping at Dawn, the nurse, for not keeping the medical files better organized.
This is outrageous. This is outrageous stupid behavior. This is absolutely outrageous behavior.
I thought he might hit her. Like, it was getting like Ike Turner. And he was also mad because she threw away some old magazines from the waiting room.
Yeah, he wasn't worried about the National Geographic, though.
He's
got his kitten magazine missing.
And she just kind of is pissed, man, because he's acting like this, you know, she's bursting in tears, refers to him as a heel. I didn't know.
So first of all, it's Julie, right? Julie comes in and gives him crap for being a heel, which I respected. I don't remember exactly what part it is, but at some point in this Doc dressing down of Dawn, they add the laugh track to something, which just shows you how out of place they knew they were. And they were just like grasping at straws to try and lighten it up or something like that.
They didn't know what to do.
It was bad.
They didn't know what to do.
They don't try it in the next scene when he's apologizing, but they definitely threw a laugh track in somewhere around the Doc stuff.
What a weird. Next scene, Doc drops by Dawn the nurse's cabin to apologize. Again, I still think it's a little like he should not have gone to her cabin like that. On top of everything else, like, it's just weird.
I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to get out of what they did.
Good luck. Fine.
The first problem is those scenes are back to back.
Yes,
they should have put something in between. Just that should not be right on top of each other. And then, like, the apology that he gives is lame and ultimately ends with him trying to recommend that she becomes a doctor. But you didn't really apologize.
He didn't. He sat her down and explained that doctors are not gods. That's what he said, and that
he basically apologized for part of what he did, kind of, but definitely not all of it. Well, definitely not the sort of sexual harassment part of it. So
it's just weird. It's just weird. It's just weird. It's just weird. And then they start kissing, or he plants a kiss on her at the end, and I'm like, what just happened? I'm exhausted from that scene.
Yeah. Like Doc offers to write a recommendation. Like, who is taking Adam Bricker's recommendation on
that
anything
one,
except
that one or like... that maybe that Wimbledon doctor. Remember that one who's leaked, you know, that whatever that was, orthopedic surgeon. A hiccup-free Steubing stops by Laura's cabin to break the news of Dan's sudden change of heart. And he finds Dan there. Captain's like, whoa, what's up? You should guys get married in Vegas. And Leslie Nielsen says, just like this, that won't be necessary. Like, because that was the level of acting. He and his much younger fiance Laura were able to find a justice of the peace in Cabo, and they are married now. You know what I'm about to say, Mike. You know what's coming next after that scene. They did it again. It's that stupid scene with Steubing. Apparently, he went right from their room to go steer two sticks again. It was the exact same cutscene.
I did
with the
see they had it again. Yeah.
It's three in a row.
But it was like really weirdly placed because I guess is he driving us out? Like he's driving us into port now? Is that?
That's what I'm saying.
It's never placed in the episode.
They don't know what to do with it.
So Steubing was like kind of pushing for this Vegas thing, right? Do you think it's just because he's lonely and he just wants to go to Vegas with somebody?
Oh, yeah. 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 Like, please, I don't want to go to Cabo again. Get me off this boat.
Right.
Although last time he stepped off the boat, remember? He stepped in the water.
He stepped right off the boat.
Yeah. Stupid scarecrow. Steubing.
Stupid. I wonder. Remember when you thought that was the worst thing we'd see all season? I wonder if Steubing would wear his shorts outfit to Vegas. Probably not, right?
No. That's Cabo. Those are Cabo shorts.
It's Cabo Steubing.
I want before the series is over, I want to see him in his civilian clothes. Just once, just to see what they do.
Him and Doc are the only ones we haven't seen in civvies.
We kind of saw a gopher in civvies. It was pretty much.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, there wasn't a true.
Yeah, but it's basically been Isaac and Julia been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ships docking in Los Angeles. Monty Hall's family are saying how happy they are. They're gaining a daughter-in-law. And then Gopher then invites her to dinner again. And she says no because she's engaged to this dude who's also her guy back home. Good riddance. Get off the boat, Morse.
Yeah, I just don't care.
Dan and Laura say goodbye to Captain Steubing. He says, you know, since I didn't have the chance to be the best man, you know, I'd love to be the godfather of their children, which is like a weird. A few seconds later, Mrs. Martin remarks to Dan what a beautiful daughter he has, and he says, she's not my daughter. Don't tell my wife. Crickets.
Womp womp. How? I know. So it's not the classic cliche of asking a woman if she's pregnant, right? You don't do that because if you're wrong, that's death.
Right.
But like, isn't this right there? Like asking someone if you're their daughter? Like that's...
I would think so. I don't think there's any... I don't think you can frame that in a way where it's not like, what the hell?
Well, it's just very forward too. Like, even if you're right, it's just like,
you don't. Yeah. Yeah. That's just, you know,
the only time you can say daughter is when it's like, you know, like a 10-year-old or something like that, like where it's obviously a child. Yeah.
Right. It's just weird. So, I'll tell you, Captain Steubing thought it was hilarious. So did Leslie Nielsen and his much younger bride, Laura. Dawn, the nurse, says goodbye to the crew just as Doc starts coughing. Donna the nurse says, get plenty of bed rest and take antibiotics. And then she lays a smooch on him. So I'm like, are they, this is how.
Yeah. There was no, there was no repercussions. There was no like pullback of it.
No.
The only thing they didn't do is make Dawn more uncomfortable with it.
Right.
But yeah, Doc gets off scot-free here, which is no lessons learned there.
So Steubing walks over and once again he's hiccuping.
Whoopsie.
And that's
Dawn. Dawn will be a fine doctor, but she needs to learn how to pronounce antibiotic because she pronounced it antibiotic.
They should have. They didn't have time for the redo. Everyone was like, enough of this episode. Really
an actor choice. Yeah. It was a
good, good riddance. All right.
And that's it, right?
That's it. We are
crawling to the finish.
Oh.
Totals in a recap. This in my first watch, in my notes, I have it listed among three, right? So episode 11, which was the Christmas episode. Episode 17, which was the Son of Steubing and the $1 million
the ballet and the worst cop,
right. But this might be the worst. This might be the worst. There was nothing redeemable about any of it. There were no amazing acting performances. There wasn't like one storyline that kind of fell apart in the middle. There's just nothing good. It was terrible.
I
don't
think there's any doubt about it. I think this is this, in my opinion, this is clearly the worst out of the 21 episodes I've seen. 21 is the worst episode.
It really is, and it's not even close. Because like the Christmas one, we hated that Florence Henderson thing, right? And it was kind of stupid with the orphans.
Yeah.
But like there was some bit like
there was some entertainment value that came out.
Sergeant was really good in it. Yeah. And you know, we kind of half liked the murder attempt, whatever.
There were likable things within the episode. Sure.
Episode 17 was ridiculous. It wasn't good, but it was ridiculous, right? Like them throwing the money in the room and you know, it's like,
it was entertaining. I'll say
Meryl Steubing's nephew, like they took big swings, but at least it was entertaining. Yeah.
I agree.
This was boring. This was poorly scripted. This was poorly acted. There was nothing interesting at all. Good luck to whoever does the reels on Instagram for this one.
Good luck. It's going to be just empty. It's going to be an empty minute.
Blank screens. Like this was. Yeah.
It'll be how many different ways can we say this episode is terrible?
Right. This will be tough. This will be tough to beat going forward, because you would almost have to have three aggressively bad storylines. Like,
yeah, that is true. Can these
because of the nature of Doc being a creep, and we didn't care about the logic of the parents one, and like you said, Leslie Nielsen just skating through his. It's like you'd almost need to have like three dog storylines or something like that. You know what I mean? Like it would have to be that level, and that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I'm curious to say, and I know that we've seen or whatever, and we know what these IMDb ratings mean now. The fact that this one got a 6.7, never again.
No, that should be like a 4.
Didn't they identify the worst one as that Hulk Hogan one, or one of the worst?
Yeah, that's the worst one. Yeah,
we're just gonna have to remember that. I can't imagine an episode with Hulk Hogan. I don't know how that could be bad. Like, how could you screw that up? We'll see.
Well, like, what do you think was the A storyline this week? Do you think it was the Leslie Nielsen one?
I think so, because there was some carryover with Steubing.
Yeah.
That's the only reason, to be honest, is because the Steubing thing and it. They were just bad. I don't think any of them would have been a good third story on any episode.
No. And it was like nothing was wacky.
I love wacky. This was just
nothing was really boring. Except for the Doc thing. Nothing was really crew heavy. Like you had the Steubing hiccup thing, but like
that stupid orange game, which really made did we really need that orange game to get where we?
But I mean, thank God we had it. Like at least that was something. Like this, I can't believe. we don't know how they build these things, right? But like, if you actually sat down, and you gotta remember, like, we think of Leslie Nielsen in a certain way, but in 1978, Leslie Nielsen's not Leslie Nielsen.
No.
You know, he's just an actor. Like, and Monty Hall is your big get? Like,
so weird. Monty Hall's your big get a year after Let's Make a Deal went off the air. So it's not available. Even.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so I will be curious to see how long this holds the crown of worst episode.
It's the worst.
And I really hope it holds it for a while because
I don't want to do that again.
I don't want to watch one like that again. Captain of the Week.
I mean, there's only one person we can choose who I can even get a little excited about. It's Gary Bananas Foster. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It was the highlight. It's all I have.
There were two men on the ship this week that weren't creeps at some point.
Mm-hmm.
It was him and Steuben.
That's true.
Gopher and Isaac were creepy early. Gopher was creepy ogling to Diana.
Yeah.
Monty Hall was a creep. Leslie Nielsen was a creep. Doc obviously was a creep. You know, so even I guess Bruce wasn't a creep, but the plan itself is a little creepy.
It's creepy. It's creepy. Yeah. It's deceitful, unnecessary. You didn't have to do that on a boat.
Steubing lost it for me when he wore the shorts to the best man part, but no, I agree. Bananas Foster is maybe the clear winner. Although I will say Glenda was good for what she was there for.
She did a great job.
And I thought Dawn Delaney was good too.
I agree.
But I need a little more pushback.
Yeah, no kidding. Especially at the end when she went in for that, like the smooch at the end. I'm like, have we not learned anything?
Doc should have been slapped.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100% he should have been slapped.
Correct me if I'm wrong. We're still one slap.
One slap.
Yeah. One slap. So Doc should have been slapped.
I agree.
Oh God, this could be anything. Walk the plank.
Monty Hall and his family.
I think that's what I have too. I had Doc, and I want to say Doc. Mm-hmm. I know they tried to redeem him at the end, but the Monty Hall storyline was, because I don't even know what they were trying to go for.
I don't either.
We hated the pranks one, right? And we hated the Florence Henderson one, but at least I know what they were going for. That wasn't wacky enough to be that bad. That wasn't interesting enough to be that bad. That wasn't like a steamy romance. You can't cast the way you cast that thing.
No. It was just a snooze fest, man. There's just no redeeming quality.
Yeah, and then throw in the fact that you got a horny Monty Hall, which is just like...
Not even horny, creepy. Like, you know what I mean? Because of that age difference, you're ogling, like.
But he's saying it in the Monty Hall cadence, too.
Yes. Monty Hall can play Monty Hall and Monty Hall. That's all he can do.
But you shouldn't put those words in Monty Hall's mouth.
No, it was weird. It was very weird. Oof. I agree with you on that.
That's a very terrible totals and recap for this week.
Plugs. Anything to plug, sir?
You should go to the Hitting Season Patreon. Baseball season is starting. Listen to Absolutely Hammered as we talk about the Phillies. The season, when this thing releases, the season will be coming up. We'll be knee-deep in spring training games by that point. So,
excellent. Hey, you can find us on Apple, on iTunes, on Spotify. Listen to us, download, subscribe. We would love it if you subscribed. Check us out. We have a Facebook group, The Love Boat Podcast. I'm sorry, The Love Boat Project. See?
Different show.
That
different,
episode completely got different me Facebook all. Page, yeah. Completely different Facebook page. And on Instagram, The Love Boat Project. Check that out as well. Lots of great content on there. It's my favorite time of the show. You can email us at theloveboatproject@gmail.com. Let's check the old mailbag. No mail. All right. Moving on.
Now, I want I won an email from a Canadian listener.
Yeah.
Tell us about the Canadian Walk of Fame, where it's located.
That's right. Where is that located? I would love to hear from our Canadian listeners.
Can we maybe get a petition to get Monty Hall removed after this performance?
After his leering.
Yes.
Fantastic. Next episode coming up is episode 22. We will see the second appearance this season for both Michelle Lee and Paul Williams. And
when was Paul Williams on?
He was the other painter.
Oh, no, no, you did this last time.
Wait
too.
A minute. Which one
That's
was
Artie
that guy?
Johnson? And you did the exact same.
Did thing. I?
You said I thought it was Paul Williams, but it's Artie Johnson. Okay, why do you think Artie Johnson is Paul Williams?
I don't. Well, this time it really is Paul Williams.
Yes. Yes.
So that's good to know.
And by the way, we'll talk about it. That's the third Michelle Lee of the season.
Really?
Yeah. That's insane.
Oh, that's right. Well, also, wow.
That's too much.
That's a lot.
Ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Three episodes in, what is that, like 18? She was in five. The two-parter and that.
Oh, that's right. So that was, that's crazy, man.
That's
crazy. And also on the next episode, the voice of Edna Krabappel.
Mm-hmm. I believe she plays the, I think the IMDb summary is the spunky gossip reporter O'Rourke.
Oh, okay. All right.
Put it this way. Our guest next week was given a list of the remaining episodes for this season to pick from, and next week's synopsis clinched it immediately. So hopefully we're in for a better episode next time than today. So,
I'm sure it'll be good. I'm sure it'll be good.
Oh my God, if it's worse.
It's going to be a long project.
Oh boy.
Well, thank you for joining us again. Thank you, Mike. Good to talk about another, 46-year-old TV show with you, sir. As the project continues, and we will see you next time.